I want to read tonight from three passages from the Bible, or the Word of God, and I'm going to start in Isaiah 53. I'll be quite truthful, this passage only came into my mind as I walked up the steps to have a little quiet. I want to read the first verse of Isaiah 53. It's on page 893 in my Bible. Who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of Jehovah been revealed? Verse 6. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and Jehovah hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Now to Luke's Gospel, chapter 19 of Luke's Gospel. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man by name called Zacchaeus, and he was chief tax gatherer. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And he could not for the crowd, because he was little in stature. Running on before, he got up into a sycamore, that he might see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when he came to the place, Jesus looked up and saw him, and said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must remain in thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him with joy. And all murmured when they saw it, saying, he is turned in to lodge with a sinful man. But Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I return him fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation is come to this house, inasmuch as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. And chapter 23. Someone once said about the passage I'm just about to read, that it should have been written in gold letters, because so many have come to the Lord through this passage. And I'm going to start from verse 39. Chapter 23, verse 39. And now one of the malefactors who had been hanged spoke insultingly to him, saying, art not thou the Christ? Save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, dost thou, too, not fear God, thou that art under the same judgment? And we, indeed, justly, for we receive the just recompense of what we have done. But this man has done nothing amiss. And he said to Jesus, remember me, Lord, when thou comest in thy kingdom. And Jesus said to him, verily I say to thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And one verse just above, Jesus said, verse 34, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In the passages in Luke, there's one word that appears, and that is today. Today. In God's word, it says in one place, today, harden not your heart. Today is still a day of salvation. It is, as it says in the Corinthians, a day of salvation. Do you need salvation? Do you need saving from your sins? I did and have been. Thank God for it. There has been rejoicing in heaven over rejoicing sinners. Maybe there is tonight from someone here. Maybe. Indeed, there is rejoicing in heaven over sinners repenting. Maybe you need to. Maybe I need to. But I read in Isaiah 53, because I just wanted to draw our attention. The report has gone out for 2,000 years, and how many have believed it? Have you? The arm of Jehovah is revealed, has been revealed, and has been revealed tonight in this room by the word of God itself. In reading the word of God, you get the arm of Jehovah being revealed. Wonderful fact. That God in his mercy and in his grace and in his love for mankind is still presenting his son as the savior of sinners. Still presenting him to us tonight here in this hall as the savior of sinners. Let us all know what it is to be at his feet. Because these verses go on to speak of something else. But the arm of Jehovah has been revealed. What does the arm speak of? It speaks of power and strength. That arm has been revealed. And where was it revealed? I would say at Calvary's cross. The arm of Jehovah was revealed. And before then and beyond then, it's been revealed. To whom? You and me. You and me. But the prophet goes on to speak about something else. And I just wanted to draw attention to that. All we like sheep. I have been a farmer in the past. And I know what sheep are like. They follow each other. And if one goes astray, they all go astray. So if one sheep goes astray, they all go. They all go. And what did Jesus say in Luke 15? He left the 99 and went after the one. Maybe that's you. Maybe it's me. He went after the one to secure it for himself. He took it home on his, on what? And what did he take it home? He took it home on his own shoulders. He will have the government yet, dear listener, on his shoulder. But he carries a guilty and repenting sinner home on his shoulders. The safety that involves for you and for me to be conscious of being carried by the Savior on his shoulders. Think of what he has done on your behalf for a moment. Because he went, as the hymn writer puts it, into the wilderness to secure you. Think of Calvary's cross for the moment. All we like sheep have gone astray, and Jehovah has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Of all. The iniquity of us all. Not just some. Everyone. We've all gone astray. Are you going to admit to it? I say again, harden not your hearts. That's what the psalmist says. And that's what Hebrews tells us. Harden not your heart. God in his love and in his grace and in his mercy is coming out to guilty sinners tonight. Not only just those of us in this room. If anybody can hear my voice outside, so be it. Maybe it will reach someone and they may find what it is to come to the Savior. I was preaching somewhere, a long while back, and the window was open. And there was someone in the garden having tea. But they could hear, all right, because as you well know, my voice isn't exactly quiet. I intend everybody to hear. The glad tidings of God are concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord? Is he your Lord? Or are we like sheep? That's a whole lot of us in this room. Every one of us have at some point gone astray. Maybe we've been found. Thank God if we have. Praise the Saviour. As some would say, hallelujah. We've been found. Have gone astray. Astray. That's out of the pathway. Astray. Lost. Lost. And that is what the Lord Jesus said to Zacchaeus. The Son of Man has come to seek and to... what? Save those that are found? No. Those that are lost. Those that are lost. We've been praying, haven't we, for our fellow men. How many are lost? I was lost once. I'll be honest with you. Oh, yes. Just because I'm standing here tonight in my middle 70s doesn't mean to say that I was once not lost, because I was. Who found me? My Father didn't find me. Jesus found me. He knocked on that door. Behold, I stand at the door and am knocking. Is he knocking on anybody's heart door in this room tonight? Is he? He's knocking. And are you going to open? As the old painting says, the handle's on the inside. There's no handle on the knocker on the outside. You've got to open your heart's door wide to let the Saviour in. He's done enough for you, dear listener. You say, what has he done for me? He went to Calvary's cross. So the righteous requirement of God for sin should be met. Oh yes, he's been there. He's suffered. Oh yes, he suffered so that you and I might be forgiven. We have turned everyone to his own way. His own way. And Jehovah has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. The scripture speaks about with his stripes we're healed. I think I said it last time I was here. Forgive me if I did. But George Fraser, in Dublin, unconverted, was asked to go to the gospel preaching by his brother. And there was no room. The hall was full. And what did he do? He climbed up the drain pipe to the window, to sit into the window, to listen to the gospel. And what was the gospel preacher reading? And yet there is room. And I'm telling you tonight, dear listener, there's room for you in God's house if you'll come. Mr. Fraser wrote that beautiful hymn, didn't he? Come hear the gospel sound, yet there is room. But he did add in one verse, some guest will be the last. Some guest will be the last. That door of mercy tonight, that door of divine grace, is wide, wide open. Walk through it, dear listener, while there's time. That is why I read about today. Because I can't promise you tomorrow. Indeed, the Bible doesn't, the Word of God, and it's true. Let me just say to you that every word in this book is true. It gives you the way of salvation. And that's one way. That's by Jesus. It's gives you every word in here is absolutely true. Men, women and children today are saying and saying it is not as it should be. It should be put on one side. It should be forgotten. Let me tell you this, that every word that God put into here is a letter from himself and a letter to us. to you and to me. It's a letter telling us about God himself and the way of salvation. If you go to verses 4 and 5, can you put your name in there? I can. Can you? Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Can you personally put your name there? Can you? It's a wonderful thing, and we thank God if you can. And would say, praise the Saviour. And so I now turn to Luke's Gospel. We read, first of all, about Zacchaeus. Notice where the Lord Jesus was walking through or passing by, and he didn't go there again. Didn't go to past Jericho again. This was his last chance. His last chance. Zacchaeus' last chance. He wouldn't have seen him again. I can't say that this tonight gospel preaching is the last chance. I don't know. So you have to take it as being possible. It's the last chance. So what does he do? He wants us to see Jesus. Well, that's a positive point, isn't it? But he hadn't got a personal appreciation of him. He needed him. And I say every guilty sinner needs a Saviour. Every guilty sinner. What does it say in the psalm? And I'm going to quote it because of accuracy's sake. Behold, in iniquity was I brought forth, and in sin did my mother conceive me. That is what we are. That is what we are. Zacchaeus was of that character, because we all are. The Lord Jesus says to him, make haste and come down, for today. Didn't promise him another day. He said, for today I'm going to dwell in your house. As I said just now, this was the last chance, I think, Zacchaeus had of acknowledging Jesus as to who he was. Because you see that in what he says. But I just wanted to draw attention to the fact, what Jesus said, today salvation has come to this house. Salvation. Not personal loss, because he gave a lot of money away, but salvation. What does that mean? Well, I think it's Mr. Reynolds put it beautifully in a hymn. Save for glory, yes, for glory. That is what was in mind here. Salvation is come into this house. And I think underlying that word in the heart of the Saviour was the way that he was going to. The way he was going. Because he's on his way, as we well know, in Luke 9, to the cross. He's on the way to where I read last of all. Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. That's where he was going to. On the way. To take your burden of sin and my burden of sin upon himself. I didn't read about Calvary's cross, I know. But it is basic to the gospel preaching. The shed blood of Jesus is absolutely basic. Romans 3 tells us that. All men have sinned and come short of what? The glory of God. But it goes on to add, later in a few words, it speaks about the mercy seat. Whom God has set forth a mercy seat. That's a meeting place between the guilty sinner and God, Jesus. Whom God has set forth a mercy seat through what? Faith in his blood. wonderful fact that the blood of Jesus can meet every guilty sinner. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. That which is lost. It doesn't say that which may be lost, but that which is lost. It is fact. It is. It's current. That's what the Lord's thinking of. Doesn't say has been. That's what he came to do. Came to seek and to save those which is lost. Think of his walk here. How many did he bring back into the appreciation of salvation? Think of him touching those. Let's go back into Luke's gospel. That poor woman bringing out her only son. He had compassion. He touched the bier and raised the dead. The only one able to do so. You know, there are many in God's eye who are dead. If you turn to what it says in Ephesians, it says, and you, being dead in your offenses and sins, in which, he then says, ye once walked according to the age of this world. That is the situation as far as everyone without Christ is concerned in the eye of God. In the eye of God. Because, let's be clear, it is against a holy God and against a God whose eyes are too holy to behold evil that we have to have, through Jesus, this touch of his preciousness. But salvation has come into this house. He says he's the son of Abraham, man of faith, but that which is lost. So I pass on, because time's running away, to the malefactor. But I think he must have heard, you know, these words of Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. If the princes of the age had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory, so Paul says. And so it was, so it is. But they did. Now there are one or two things which I think we need to take account of in these few verses. You've got two malefactors there. One place it says they both railed against Jesus. But you've got two. Both of them could make a decision. Both of them. Both of them had the same chance, if you want to put it that way. Both of them. We all have the opportunity. Because the gospel goes out, as we've been reminded, to the whole of creation. And man is inexcusable, in any case, according to the Roman epistle. Thou art inexcusable, O man. He's inexcusable. He can see the stars. He can see creation. He's inexcusable. But God in his mercy presents Jesus as the only Savior for you and for me, to men, women and children everywhere. So you've got these two malefactors. What happened to the other, we're not told. We're not told. Some writers think he could have had opportunity also to have repented, but we're not told that. But what we get is his words, and then the other ones rebuked him. And what did he say? Dost thou too not fear God? That's one step. Then he comes to another point. Thou that under the same judgment, we indeed justly, for we receive the just recompense of what we have done. It's a spirit of repentance or the actual repentance was in that man at that point. Now, repentance is something that all of us need to know and to experience, because we've all done wrong. But repentance is there so that we can come before a holy God and know what it is to be forgiven. Repentance only, the hymn writer puts, God requires from man, and faith in Christ. Mr. Doughty pointed that out. God waits in grace. He does. He waits in grace with hands outstretched to bless. Glad news from heaven. It's that heaven is speaking tonight with glad news. The arm of Jehovah is being revealed tonight. Repentance only God requires from man, and faith in Christ. And that is what this man came to. Wonderful fact. There he was hanging beside the Savior, Jesus. And he came to appreciate who was there. His Savior. The one who came, who was about to go into death and to bring in salvation for him. He goes on to say something very, very marvelous. And where did he get it from? This man has done nothing amiss. A very interesting statement from a malefactor. It just shows to me and proves to me that the Spirit of God or the Lord himself had been speaking to this man somewhere. This man has done nothing amiss. What a witness to those who are around. And when they heard that voice of a malefactor, this man has done nothing amiss. Jesus hadn't done anything which was out of accord with a holy, sin-hating God. Oh no. And he adds, remember me, Lord. He came under divine authority. And you know, that's the result of the gospel. That you come under the authority of another. You come under the authority of Jesus. You accept him as your Lord. This used to be said many times when I was much younger. That you have to, as you come to the Savior, come to him and acknowledge him as your Lord. Remember me, Lord, when thou comest in thy kingdom. How did he know that? How did this man know that Jesus had got a kingdom? But he had been told. Told by the Spirit of God that this man was coming in the kingdom and he was going to reign. But Jesus came and gave him something better. Better. Today. That day. Thou shalt be with me where? In paradise. What a place of delights the man was about to go into. There he was hanging on a cross. Maybe in pain. No doubt he was. And then he was able to speak. And of the Savior, his Savior at this point, his Lord, he's able to speak of him. And what's the answer? Today. And I come back to that word. Today. Today is the day of salvation. I can't promise you, dear listener, tomorrow. The facts of the glad tidings are there for you to appreciate and come to the Savior in repentance, acknowledging that you need him, knowing that God has before him the preciousness of his blood, the one who came in lowly guise to secure for God a way of salvation. Or may we be encouraged and blessed for his name's sake. Amen.